What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, October 18th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Reverend and the Sirens, Jared Petty.
Wow, the sirens are going off. That's on our end.
That's the Jared siren. When you're here now, that's how it gets introduced.
Wow, I like that idea. Woo. Put a little flashy red light up on top of my head.
Yes, 1,000%. But I want it to be like a Dragnet, right? Where like you reach down and pull it up and slam it on the table, on top of the cop car.
Always wanted one of those. Yeah. Like, so you got to have a big 70s cop car.
Throw it up there in the roof, the big bag thing.
It's freaking great. I would just watch the CNN the 70s thing about television. Have you watched that?
I have. I watched the 70s and the 80s, and I know 90s is up now on Netflix, but I haven't watched it all.
Yeah, I've only watched the TV episodes of 70s and 80s, and both were really, really good. Mm-hmm. I was surprised how much I liked the 70s one. But yeah, that makes me think of, like, whenever I think of the 70s, it's cop shows. It's throwing that up there on top.
Giant cars.
I like what Cool Greg had going on today. Did you see?
No.
So Cool Greg, he always sees, you know, Kevin's like countdown. It's like, oh, it'll be live. And then Cool Greg's like, and that's how we know to turn the light on, like start talking.
Sure.
Right? But today, Cool Greg does this, and then he's like,
oh, he pumped his arms
and
a little
bit. And he just
bit.
Kept them for like 10 seconds.
Just to let you know. You know what
just
I mean?
Just pumping. I loved it.
I appreciate that.
But he walked away. He wasn't still looking at us. He was just
Cool Greg's got things to do. You know what
celebrating.
I mean? He wants to let you know that the show's going and that's how it's going to be.
I like what was happening. How are you doing, Greg Miller?
I'm good, Jared Petty. How are you?
Fair to Midland.
Fair to Midland.
Indeed.
That's a band, I think, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that's a band.
Isn't
is that
a fair
band?
To Midland
like a
band? Kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. I think I know that. There's somewhere in there. Yeah.
/you'rewrong is if people can let us know live while they're watching on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames.
Exactly.
I totally bungled that.
Close enough. I'll do it for you. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. With your questions, comments, bad PSN names for a little bit more, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe.
Greg Miller, I note that apparently whatever button you pressed on your computer is still pressed because the printouts are still double-sided.
Oh, yeah. Once we dropped that the Kryptonian key from Smallville on it, it started doing that double-side printing, and I never stopped.
It just keeps doing it.
Let's save the world.
I'm good with that. Yeah.
Progress and recycling start with one small step, and it's right here. Housekeeping for you. If you didn't know, you can get these notes. That's right. The fan mail tier for patreon.com/kindoffunnygames for the month of October is Greg's show notes. I've used them on Games Daily. I've used them on Gamescast. I've been saving them for months now, signing them, doodling on them. That we will send those off as the fan mail tier, of course.
To be clear, that's these notes, not these nuts.
These notes, not these nuts.
Okay, good. I was just checking.
You can get them over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Games, of course, that would give you access to early access of party mode, the games cast, Q&A's, all sorts of crazy things. It's a fun time for everybody, right, Kevin?
Yep.
Today we're brought to you by Hims, Me Undies, and Loot Crate, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
If you thought we were done talking about Crunch, Red Dead, Rockstar, unionization, and everything else, boy howdy were you wrong. After Dan Houser's 100-hour statement to Vulture, that then became Dan Houser's statement to IGN and Kotaku that he was just talking about the writing team, which became a giant industry-wide, Crunch is bad, how bad is it at Rockstar, nobody really knows, this is happening, Jason Schreier's working on an article, that's going on over here. It came yesterday's Games Daily, me and Gary talking about it at length, trying to figure out if there's anything to be done and how you do it, and then people writing in and just being mad about maybe they crunch in their own jobs, but is it okay to crunch, and is that just how it works, is it in the video games industry? Last night, Rockstar, apparently, HR, reached out and lifted the ban that it was basically like, don't talk about Rockstar. If you're a Rockstar employee, don't talk about Rockstar on social media.
Which, to be clear, is not unique to Rockstar. And many companies, that's
why so many people don't talk about their place of employment. And also, if they have a Twitter, say, thoughts and opinions are my own, not representative of my employee.
Right.
I'm going to take a big old gulp of water, and then I'm going to read the Rock about this lifted social media ban. We are going to read pretty much, and I think it is, the entirety of Jason Schreier's report over at Kotaku. Of course, that means you need to go to Kotaku at some point today and click on that article so you give Jason the view, or tweet him and say, hey, good work.
You taking that sip?
It's a long article.
That's a long article.
And then on top of that, we have more people. And let me tell you, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. All it was today pretty much was conversations about this and Crunch and back and forth and all this stuff.
Okay.
Let's kick it off with Jason at Kotaku. Last night, Red Dead Redemption developer Rockstar Games lifted its social media policies, telling employees they were no longer banned from speaking about their work experiences on Twitter and Facebook. The move has led to a number of current staff sharing mostly positive stories from their time at the massive game company. Quote, "First off, this was one of the most rewarding and least stressful projects I've worked on," said Keith Thorburn, who works in the music department at Rockstar North in Edinburgh, Scotland. Quote, "I know what Epic Crunch feels like, but this was managed in such a way that I felt happy and healthy." The social media lift comes in the wake of an industry conversation surrounding excessive overtime or crunch that followed Rockstar co-founders Dan Houser's comment to the New York Magazine, saying, quote, "We were working 100-hour work weeks," end quote, in 2018. On Monday, Rockstar sent further comments to Kotaku attributed to Houser, saying that he was referring to himself and his writing team for a three-week period, and that we don't ask or expect anyone to work anything like this. The comments have triggered a firestorm of controversy over the past few days as former Rockstar employees spoke up on Twitter about their own crunch experiences at the company, with ex-Rockstar PR man, Job Stauffer, friend of the show, writing that, quote, "During the GTA 4 era, it was like working with a gun to your head 7 days a week." And other observers criticized the company for its overtime practices. Stories about Rockstar have circulated in the video game industry for years, most notably in 2010 around the release of Red Dead Redemption, when a group of spouses of Rockstar San Diego employees put together a letter exorating the company. Being mean to the company. Taking apart the company. Eviscerating is what I would have written. I don't know that word. Do you know that word?
What? No.
Right here at the bottom. I put together a letter excoriating?
You know what? I'm not smart enough to understand that word.
Kevin, can I get a search of excoriating, please?
Yeah, give me 2 seconds.
Typically, Rockstar tells all of its employees to refrain from discussing work-related matters on social media. But last night, the company's HR boss sent out an email to staff at several of the company's studios saying they acknowledged that some felt frustrated by the narrative that had circulated and saying that employees would now be allowed to speak up about their experiences with no need to sugarcoat anything. That was in quotes. The move has led current staff to share mostly positive things about their employer. Time out. Excoriate. Gerund or present participle. Censure or criticize severely.
By the participle, not a particle is a different
thing. Well, it's very small. Sorry, but yes, you're right.
Yep.
Quote, "In the time that I've been at the studio, work practices have been improved," said Phil Beveridge, coder at Rockstar North. "Crunch on Red Dead Redemption 2 has definitely been a lot better than it was, is what it says, on GTA 5, where I was putting a month of 70-plus hour weeks, parentheses, while being told by my boss at the time to go home. I have never worked more than maybe 50 hours a week, and that's a rare occurrence, but I generally work about 2 to 6 hours of paid overtime per week," said Vivian Langdon, a tools programmer at Rockstar San Diego. Quote, "I have been at Rockstar for 2 years and worked on Red Dead Redemption 2, said Danny Bannister, a vehicle artist at Rockstar North. Quote, "I have never worked anywhere close to 100 hours a week. There was some crunch, sure, but nothing ridiculous. We worked hard on the game, but we weren't being abused. I think the most I did on Red Dead Redemption 2 was 60 hours for 1 week," end quote. Back to Jason. Just to conceptualize that, 60 hours would be 5 12-hour-long days or 6 10-hour days. Quote, "As a worker at Rockstar North, I should probably add my voice to the conversation going around on crunch," wrote tools designer Tom Faulty. Quote, "We do crunch. I've not seen anybody forced to work 100-hour weeks, but I've definitely seen friends get closer to that figure than is healthy. I am asked, encouraged, and expected to work overtime, parentheses both nights and weekends, when coming up to a big deadline. The most I've ever worked in a single week during my nearly 5 years that here has been 79 hours, but that was not recently," end quote. Rockstar lead artist Miriam Bellard has rounded up a number of these stories on her Twitter feed if you want to see them all. Back to Jason. "We've been looking into and reporting on workplace conditions at game studios for years now, and specifically Rockstar for a few months. For that story, we have been granting anonymity to both current and former employees in order to ensure that they feel comfortable speaking candidly. We've heard a wide range of experiences, and we'll publish a story when it's ready."
There we go.
All that said, right, that gets lifted, all these different things. There is this question of, hold on. Well, thank you for the honk over there, too. Ron writes in, to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Rockstar allowing current employees to speak about their working condition really rubs me the wrong way. I can't imagine that this vast majority of unhappy people would still feel safe speaking publicly. Rockstar is a giant company with studios in multiple countries. People under different managers or supervisors in one part might have very different experiences. I'm not discounting the positive experiences of some developers, but that doesn't speak for the whole company.
All right, I got a lot of thoughts on this.
Lay them on me, Jerry Petty. Okay.
First off, I think this disclaimer needs to be made. I have friends that are both former and current Rockstar employees.
Okay.
And some close relationships there. I run a show about Red Dead Redemption 2. I have a good professional relationship with Rockstar. And so all of that should be considered in every word I'm saying. I think that disclosure is important.
I have plenty of former Rockstar friends or whatever. I'm close with Job. Mm-hmm. He's a former Rockstar people. He's quoted in there. And I would say, I mean, I'm not on Christmas card lists with people at Rockstar, but I know plenty of people at Rockstar that I'm friendly with and will text to about things of that nature. And I have a good working relationship with them as well.
And I think it's good
for us
to say that.
And that's why I'm ready to burn it all down and say no.
No. So I've had a lot of thoughts on this. I listened to you and Gary's talk yesterday, for example, and I think you raised a lot of interesting thoughts or some things I disagreed with there as well. But looking at the situation, let's start at the very beginning.
Sure.
I do worry that we have rushed to judgment in a very interesting way with this. There is no question at all that within the video games industry, cultural crunch is a problem that makes lives of employees at many companies and many places worse than they should be. I think that is universally accepted by the vast majority of people involved in this.
I agree.
Second, I think that we mostly recognize now within the industry that unionization is probably very important for several reasons. One, to make sure that workers are fairly financially compensated in an industry where employment can be seasonal, where you can work on a game and then move on to the next studio. You might have a year between jobs, yet you're paid as if you're always going to have a job, unlike Hollywood, which works that way. Also to guarantee that employee health is protected, that employee health benefits are protected. Things that are not very well regulated within this industry could be by unionization. And I think more and more people are waking up to that reality and trying to find a way for that to happen, particularly within the United States. Third, I think that Mr. Hauser's quote, when he talks about working 100-hour weeks with his writing staff, as we see that kind of one line there in where I read it in the Vulture article, and wondering what the follow-up was, as you pointed out yesterday, or if there ever was one, I find very intriguing because I really don't think he was sitting there trying to brag about crunch culture. I think he's too smart for that. Dan Hauser's a smart dude. Mm-hmm. And in a company where there's already been this 2010 reporting, which was 8 years ago,
yep,
I don't think he wanted to ignite a firestorm of controversy and just rub everybody the wrong way.
I mean, if you want to talk about from Rockstar and Dan Hauser, I assume's worst case scenario thing of talking to the press, welcome to it. You know what I mean? We talked about it yesterday where Patrick Klepek's article mentioned the fact that it's very rare for any of the Hausers or either Hauser to talk, right?
Yeah.
And you want to be like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder why, right? And here it is, right? A week before Red Dead, they want to just ride this wave, have their launch trailer come out like it did today and be great. And instead, they're living this PR nightmare.
Yeah, and I am somewhat frustrated by that. And the reason for that is I think I've been watching a lot of West Wing lately.
Sure.
I don't watch the West
Martin
Wing
Sheen, fucking killing
in a while. I haven't watched it in a bit, but good show.
Oh, great show.
One of the things I love with the West Wing is the White House press secretary, CJ Craig.
Oh, yeah, CJ, of course.
Her job, Allison Janney, every day, get up in front of a group of people that are there to report the news, but are also there to make sure they get the juicy stories.
Yeah.
If CJ misspeaks for a second, it becomes national news for weeks. It embarrasses the president. It embarrasses the good intentions of the president. Sometimes CJ says things she just shouldn't say for bad reasons. But most of the time when CJ screws up, it's a matter of saying something that could possibly be taken differently than was intended.
Yeah.
There's no universe where Dan Hauser wanted to sit down and be like, see how hard we all work and this is what our company's about because we don't care about crunch. That's not what he meant.
Yeah.
But that's what the narrative has very quickly become. I think that this industry needs to continue to have a talk about crunch. I think we need to move beyond that. I think we need to kill it. We need to squash it as much as is humanly possible. And I do think unionization is one of several steps we could take to make that happen. I also think that we are over-focusing on a zeitgeist that's taken on a life of its own when it comes to this story. I think we're singling out a studio largely because of some things that happened almost a decade ago, and that we are not waiting for the story. This isn't a situation where we're not going to get the story. That's what I'm frustrated by. Sometimes you look at something like a situation where you have one person saying one thing happened and another person saying another thing happened, and there's no witnesses, and you're never going to get the context, and you're never going to get the full story.
Yeah.
All right. This isn't that kind of situation where we all have to make our best judgment right now. We will find out what the creative culture around this game was. It is not secret. Rockstar has voluntarily opened the doors to some people speaking about it already. And Jason will do his homework, and other people will do their homework, and we'll get a much more clear picture of this. And once we have that picture, we can have a responsible discussion about this and how it happened here. I, right now, think that it's proper to ask questions and seek answers. I also think we're moving too quickly to scream. I think some of that's that right now we're in a political and social culture where we've been conditioned to immediately react to things violently or energetically. I think that we can't necessarily help the fact that we've been taught to do that over the last couple of years. But I think that we are in our effort to back good things. We all hate crunch. We all want this to change. We might not be aiming our gun sights as accurately as we could yet at where they actually need to be aimed.
Sure.
That's what I'm worried about, Greg, is that this has snowballed to the point where we may lose the issue in the midst of the discussion. This may end up being a lot of yelling that doesn't lead to very much progress because we're not targeting the areas that will actually change the issue yet.
Sure.
Those are my long, rambly thoughts on this. I think that any time that this difficult dementia crunch, which goes all the way back to the 1960s, the birth of video games was built around effectively voluntary crunch. People that were sneaking into the MIT labs through the ceiling sometimes to use computers so they could get that valuable 3 a.m. computer time and, you know, create incredible things that led to space war and sure. network chess and things like that. It's always been there since the very first game. We have to change it because now we have a multi-billion dollar industry built on it and it can destroy lives. I have seen firsthand what crunch can do to people, and it needs to change. I don't think that taking the very little bit we know right now about the development of Red Dead Redemption 2 and a one-line quote and echoing that into something that may very well indict people that don't necessarily deserve to be indicted. I think that there's a real possibility here that Hauser sitting in his office going, I have worked for the last 8 years to make this company more friendly to its employees, not less. Mm-hmm. Why is this happening? I don't know that. I don't know Dan Hauser.
Sure.
But that's my guess. And that's probably extremely frustrating both for him and for people that have seen conditions improve. I also think that in studios across the globe, it's not as good as it needs to be yet.
I agree. I mean, that was the thing yesterday with Gary. And when we were having this conversation of, I'm not trying to defend Rockstar, but what I was trying to do is let's generalize this a bit more. We are not jumping to conclusions. It is this one quote. It is then a response. It is then all of us chiming in and referencing the Rockstar spouse's letter. It is today this, which could also be read into, well, maybe you wouldn't want to talk. It's like, yes, the best thing to come out of this is a temperature check on the industry and on fandom that does seem to say, no, we don't want you to kill yourself for games. Like, mm-hmm. make the games, yes, and like, yes, hit deadlines, but like, don't, it shouldn't be 3 months of 100 hours, right? Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be this, and you shouldn't celebrate that and do all these different things. But there is we're going to get into questions here in a second, which I've pared down, but the mailbag was very split in terms of like, of course, I won't want to see people do this. And other people are like, no, it happens in every industry. It happens in my industry. And this is how it is. And why should we do this? And how do you fix that? And it, on and so on and so forth. What I do want to call out is, gotten an email today from a kind of funny best friend who wants to remain anonymous, who says they work at Rockstar. They provided a few links that I was able to go through and be like, yes, this appears to check out. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to read it with a grain of salt, obviously. You can take it with you. I'm just going to get straight to the crux of the matter. I have never worked a 100-hour work week. My hours during the crunch period from about February till August ranged from 40 hours all the way up to 80 hours. During the busiest time, I was working easily 65 to 80 hours a week. This meant 7 days a week and staying late every day. I feel I was one of the individuals doing a lot of hours, and some people didn't have to crunch nearly as bad, but others were worse. I know some people in various departments who did 80 to 100 hours each week for some time. My overtime was unpaid, but we do receive a bonus at Christmas, which seems to depend on how long you have worked at the company, but it is never clarified in the studio how your bonus is decided. It is worth mentioning that you are never actually forced to work overtime, but this is because it's simply illegal to do so. You have your amount of work and are expected to get it done in time. This means if I didn't work overtime, my workload would have gotten huge, and then I would have been pulled aside asking why I had so much work left to do. The whole team would have meetings where we were asked to push as hard as we could. We all knew what this meant.
You and were talking with Gary yesterday about E3.
Correct.
You and I have both done that. We've both done the E3 war room.
Sure, the IGN E3 war room. Yeah,
exactly.
Many a time.
We have both had frequent contact with developers and publishers and have seen what crunch culture can be like, what it can do to people. I've been to GDC and heard Russ Pitts talk about changing this culture and some of the stories that come out of that through Take This and other things like that, the mental health consequences of too much work. I think that, again, we all agree it's bad. And I think we all agree it's fixable. I think that it's time to look for the steps. I do not think that turning the Red Dead marketing / cultural narrative around to being about crunch is the solution to that issue. Because I think that these stories, while they should be told, need to be told, are also a part of a tremendous arc that ultimately needs industry leadership across companies to come together to solve.
Yeah,
it's going to have to change the way we deal with developer or investor relations. It's got to change the way publishers deal with developers. It's got to change the way that customers expect things from publishers. I think there's a lot of value in somebody reaching out to us and telling their story, because we need to hear these anecdotal narratives. And I'm glad that a best friend chose to do so. I hope we hear from more people.
No.
I just hope we can keep our eyes on what this is about, which is, again, we keep talking about things like a 2010 contract. 8 years is an eternity in corporate culture.
Sure.
A corporate culture can change in 6 months sometimes based on leadership. Often it takes much longer than that. But I really do fear that we're kind of coming off half-cocked on this.
Well, I think right now, right, again, I don't think the whole narrative of Red Dead Redemption 2 has been changed to crunch culture. I think right now in the zeitgeist of this, you know, still seeing the ripples and the waves and having news about it, it is. I think if anything, it can just be used as right now the biggest game going, right?
Yeah.
Is this poster child of, hey, how do we fix this? You said something in there. You think we can all agree it's avoidable, right?
Yeah, I do.
Can we?
Yes.
Like, I think, because I mean, the kind of funny best friend, right? You have your amount of work and are expected to get it done in time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel that's how most jobs are and stuff like that. But you have a deadline out there. You're expected, when Tim asked me to do something and I say, yes, I'm on the hook to do it or whatever. But I feel like oftentimes it comes down to that, right? When you're on a big project, you're on a big thing that you're going to run up to a deadline where you're like, fuck, I'm behind because I got pulled in this meeting, because I had to do this, because I had to talk to this, because I had this. It was some problem cropped up.
Well, sometimes you commit to things and you look at what you're putting together and you have a plan, and then things get revised and things get revised. We make a daily show here, multiple shows during a day, a lot of the time. And if we don't do that, if something breaks, then a show doesn't come out that day.
Yeah.
And no product happens that day. And sometimes we can let that happen. But if it happens too many times, the network falls apart.
Sure.
So obviously we relate to that idea. However, I do think that particularly in regard to your employees, you are working. I've heard you say proactive things about making sure that people are able to take time off, that people are able to have lives outside of here. I have heard this come from your mouth. I think you believe in it. And you recognize the importance, and I don't think you sacrificed the happiness or health of your employees for that sake. I don't see a lot of evidence right now, and we're still very early into this discussion based on what's happening in the zeitgeist, that this particular quote by Dan points to anything like that happening within his company right now. Maybe that'll change. I think that I'm trying to be, I'm sorry for the rambling, but now we're getting into a personal place. I had a nervous breakdown last year.
And you weren't even making a video game.
And I can definitely say that the stress of obligations had a great deal to do with me ending up hospitalized.
Sure.
So I was in the hospital because I was mentally ill. My mental illness was exacerbated by commitments.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a very personal connection to this discussion.
Sure.
That's why I'm advocating for it, for it to be discussed responsibly. I don't want to see this spin into what we sometimes call a media circus. I don't want this to become a shouting match that ultimately ends in sound and fury signifying nothing. I would rather think about how much more productive it could be right now to use this opportunity not just to criticize, but as I think Jason's trying to do with what we see in more articles, to inform or even to reach out. To connect to, and I was glad to see Rockstar open those doors. I do understand that within those conditions, employees are going to perhaps feel that what they share is going to be seen. I also think it shows a lot of confidence on Rockstar's part, and maybe a recognition internally that people are like, hey, I'm fine with what I'm doing right now. I'm proud of what I'm doing right now, and I want to show it to people as well. Those are all legitimate parts of the discussion, and they all have to be brought out there before we solve this thing.
Venge writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, ex-AAA dev here, left the industry because of the crunch, but still one of the happiest days of my life was when the reviews started dropping for our game and we realized how much people loved it. Was it worth it? Probably not. But if it's happening, we want you to play it. We want you to love it. Because this was a conversation obviously yesterday, right, of if this is happening, what do we do with this? Because Gary kept saying, I'm weak. I'm going to buy Red Dead. I need you. But it's also like, but is a boycott on what you're talking about as well, a half-cocked, we don't fully understand what's happening, is that the right way to go about this?
No, I don't think a boycott of this game at this time solves this issue because this ain't Telltale, okay? This ain't the end of Telltale, you know? Yeah, this is not in a situation that is so clearly abusive and egregious that we all understand exactly what's happening. This is a one-line quote that a guy quickly came out and said was about me and three other people. Look, I write and I understand obsessive rewriting. I do. I do it. I have stayed
You're obsessive
awake.
About things? No.
No. And it is part of writing, not knowing how to stop. You have to, I have to discipline myself. Greg, I don't know. You work harder than anyone I know. You work harder than I do. And
I'm a good actor.
Yeah, whatever. You work ridiculously hard.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you function on as little sleep as you get. You yourself, I think, recognize that there are times you have to step away from it, but probably recognize it fewer than you'd like to about yourself.
Of course, yeah.
Yet I see you extend it to others, right?
Yeah.
What you will not give yourself, you will sometimes give to your employees.
Sure.
Or to those around you when you give advice.
I don't want Kevin to get gray hair like this.
Is it that hard for us to believe that some of the people in leadership there are just obsessive and always
not.
Diving in
of
and then going,
not.
And by the way, guys, you don't have to do that. Now, I'm not in there, and that's the point. We don't know, but we will know, so let's wait till we know.
Okay.
If we weren't ever going to know, then we could sit here and speculate.
You want to wait for Jason Schreier's piece?
I want to wait for real information. I want to wait for something where I'm not just irresponsibly talking out of my ass about what might
then
be
we
happening.
Would have no Daily Show if we weren't irresponsibly
no,
talking
no,
out
no,
our
no, 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 no. I think I understand us engaging this because it's what people are writing to us about.
Yeah.
But I think we need to engage it responsibly. I hope we're doing that.
Let's plow through one more quote before we get to more reader mail about this. This is from Rockstar North's Coast studio head, Rob Nelson. He was talking to The Guardian. In an interview with The Guardian, Nelson acknowledged that Rockstar's working culture has been in need of improvement. Asked how the studio manages employees' time and welfare, he said, as best we can, and it's something that we're always striving to get better at. We're growing as fast as we can, and we're structuring our departments based on need because we don't want people working too hard. Do people work hard, and is there overtime and extra effort put in? Yes, there is. It is something we want happening regularly for... It is something we want happening regularly for long periods of time or as an accepted part. He's asking a question. My apologies. Let me try this again with the right inflection. Is it something we want happening regularly for long periods of time or as an accepted part of our process or a badge of honor thing? No, it's not. We are always trying to improve how we are working and balance what we are making with how we make it. And we will not stop working to improve in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing. Like, it's a sliding scale, and you're trying to put out this giant video game that everyone is excited about and everyone's interested in, and da da da. And you're trying to follow up GTA, and you're trying to follow up the first Red Dead. Like, I get why people are stressed out and putting themselves in these situations and doing that. Is it like Job said it was? The number of years ago he worked there. Like, it felt like there was a gun to the head when they were talking about GTA 4. Who knows? We will soon. To your point, is what you're saying, right? Like,
we will have a clearer idea. We will never know what it's like to be there without being there, but we'll continue to have a clearer idea. I think more that maybe instead of looking for indictment, we look for solution and we look forward across what we do. I think it's time we start taking a look at the broader principles. Gary brought up investor relations yesterday, and he was being very populist in that regard. I think quarterly culture in American business in general.
Mm-hmm.
is difficult, and in entertainment, it's especially difficult. And there is something to be examined in quarterly culture across the industry and about how we probably ought to change how games are funded if we want to have a sustainable medium. But then we sit here and we go, by the way, this year we had more great games than we've ever had.
Yeah.
And there's that as well. And then there's the thing where artists do have a tendency to sometimes just work themselves to death. How do we promote self-maintenance, self-care within people? How do we offer the mental health services that make that possible? How do we force somebody to rest? That's another important discussion to have. I think some people are Mr. Scott on the Enterprise. They don't know how to take shore leave, but it's still good for them.
Yeah.
We need to create avenues where management pushes people toward rest. And I suspect there are initiatives like that in a lot of developers more than we'd want to imagine.
Right. And that was something that was talked about yesterday, right? It seems like, of course, we only talk about when we hear about how crunch is bad and this, that, and the other, and we don't celebrate, as somebody pointed out yesterday, studios like Media Molecule, Rocksteady, that are winning awards for being positive work environments and how they take care of people.
I want to play this game. I want to see the results of the artistry of these people's efforts.
Sure.
I want to see what they're so proud of.
You don't care how many bodies are left in the wake.
I care.
You sicken me, Kevin. Turn
very,
on his microphone.
No. Very much.
I know you do care.
About the human beings that put these together. I said I've seen it very close up.
I want to toss it over to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, where a bunch of people wrote in. Like I said, a very active reader mail bag this time around. I mainly picked people who not necessarily didn't agree with us, but had stances on a different way other than what we were talking about. Tyler Drummond writes in and says, are we work shaming with this Rockstar stuff? Yes, there are companies taking advantage of employees, but I feel some of the discourse gets a little out of hand. What's wrong with working hard? What's wrong with putting in 60, 80, or 100-hour work weeks if you want to? Keyword want to. Especially if you're getting compensated. Certainly, companies should treat their employees right, but I think we should be careful shaming the idea of working hard by choice.
I think that one of the best points about unionization is the idea that unionization is not just about workplace conditions or hours. It's about being fairly compensated for overtime.
Right. And that's similar to what, like, again, this best friend who says they work at Rockstar was talking about, right? That like overtime wasn't carried out, right? It was about you get a bonus at the end of the year. My overtime was unpaid, but we do receive bonus at Christmas, which seems to depend on how long you've worked at the company, but it's never clarified that.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that unionization could do across industry would be to guarantee regular overtime compensation for non-hourly employees.
Yeah.
I think that could, or a bonus structure that takes that into account.
Tyler, I'm with you. And I you're talking about a perfect world of, yes, you know, like, what's wrong with working hard? If you want to do an 100-hour work or your 8, of course. Like, if you find the work fulfilling and you want to do it and you're pushing ahead and you're doing all this different stuff, who am I to stop you or say that? I think it's where they're talking about the idea of people who don't want to, but they've been put into the position that they have to. And I'm not even talking about Rockstar. I'm talking about Crunch in general.
Yeah.
I mean, guess what? We're way behind on our milestones. We need to bring mattresses into the office.
I've worked 100-hour weeks in the last couple of months.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And by the way, you shouldn't work 100-hour weeks. And I shouldn't have either. That self-employment's a weird thing. And it's when it becomes systemic.
Right.
It's very powerful within an organization. I mean, you and I work together in media, and media is renowned. You were a newspaper guy, for crying out loud. I mean, how many times were you there late putting the paper to bed?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, that was a print medium where you had deadlines, so the mechanical processes that had to be turned on, and people could be stuck there late constantly. So yeah, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to work hard. There's a lot wrong.
It's the
in
thing of
business culture
abused.
About people. Yeah, and that's. And when we're going to use a word like abuse, we darn well better be right when we're using it. That is a serious word full of gravity.
Again, I'm talking to you in the broad terms. Not
necessarily. I wasn't criticizing you.
Don't fucking point at me.
No, I'm not criticizing you. I just want to make sure when we talk about things that are weighty, we speak about them with authority.
Sure.
And that's what I want to make sure happens in this situation.
Mills Chop writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD with two things. He says, number one, a lot of folks, including Greg and Gary yesterday, have been saying, quote, I'll wait longer for a game. But would you pay 50 to 200% more for a game too? Because 100 hours of work is 100 hours of work. If you force 40 to 50 hour limits, it not only takes twice as long, but costs twice as much because your overhead costs keep adding up as you extend development. Obviously, it's all dollar and cents at some point in this business, and that's where it comes down to. And again, we're back to just compensating for the overtime. How are they doing this? Blah, 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 blah. But I've been on the record for a long time of, yes, I pay more for a video game.
Yeah.
We've talked about this. When Colin was here, this used to be a long-running thing of, you know, explore the scale. And if he would always talk about, like, what if The Witcher 3 was $100 or more because they're giving you so much content? You know, and is that thing of, yeah, like, I know that's not a popular opinion at all, but... Especially for a game of a Witcher, of a Red Dead, of a Cyberpunk,
where
you could literally play that for months and months and months and months. Okay.
I'll pay your union fees.
Yeah, right.
I'll pay a union tax, yes.
And that's the other thing too. It's going to make your games more expensive. Okay, but if it's taking better care of my creators and helping them not burn out and helping them stay around longer. I mean, we just heard from someone who claims to be a AAA dev that burned out, right? And there were people responding to Job's thing from Rockstar, or former Rockstar. I mean, like, that's why I left, because GTA Online was killing me. Mm-hmm. Like, there's... I mean, yes, I want to see people rewarded for their hard work, and I'm not going to... I know that's not a popular opinion. I know it would change the industry, but maybe the industry needs to change. Number two, though. Unionization is not the godsend everyone seems to think it is. Look at the public teaching profession. Teachers are often underpaid. Parentheses. The primary reason we struggle to get quality STEM teachers is because they can get more money elsewhere. End parentheses. And overworked. Parentheses. 8 to 10 hours at school, plus a ton of work done after hours grading papers, creating homework, exam, lesson plans, etc. End parentheses. Not to mention school budgets are so shallow. Teachers often pay for materials out of pocket. The union has some value. Parentheses. Job protection, negotiation. End parentheses. But I'm not certain it's the end-all, be-all answer to the situation.
No, unionization is not the end-all, be-all answer to the solution. It's just a vast improvement.
And I think that's the biggest thing right now is that, yeah, I I've said before on this show of, like, my dad's a union crane operator. That's pretty much my extent of unions and knowing how, I mean, I know what unions are, obviously, and what they're doing and how they're fighting. But, like, I just don't want to see developers who are making the things I love, the games, the toys I love, taken advantage of and put into situations they don't want to be. And it seems like union gives a voice to these people to not have that done. But I also, I want to hear more pros and stuff, or cons.
Oh, there's a lot to be said. Everybody's got a different political philosophy around unions. I think, you know, go to YouTube and watch Harlan County, USA. They do a pretty good job of explaining why they probably ought to exist. By the way, if you've never watched Harlan County, USA, it's one of the greatest documentaries ever made.
Harlan County, USA?
Harlan County, USA. It's on YouTube, like the whole movie. It's the only place I know you can watch it.
Okay.
But go watch it. It's one of the best films I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
And a group following a group of coal miners around. It explains why at the most dramatic unions are important. The video game industry is not equitable to that, it even at its worst. So, because Harlan, they were literally killing people.
Mm.
But it does explain how powerful unions can be to change, and the limits and the corruption that sometimes takes place within them. It's an interesting thing to watch. But teachers' unions do matter a lot.
Riley writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I've been listening to you guys talk about Crunch, and as someone that's a member of a union, I completely understand the value behind them. I'm a teacher, and my union protects me from quite a bit, and I'm incredibly appreciative to be in an industry that allows me to be supported in that way. That being said, as a teacher, I don't need to be protected from long work weeks. I get to my school at 7 and usually don't leave until about 6 and still end up taking... No, I don't need to. Still end up taking home papers to grade, lessons plan, and parents to contact. I don't do it because my principal mandates it. I do it because I'm passionate about what I do and what's and that's what's happening in games as well. Tim does it for Kinda Funny Live. Teachers do it. Literally, almost every business does it. So acting like it's a travesty that writers were quote-unquote forced to write for a video game, which is their life's ambition, for a few overtime hours is a little hard to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're conflating a few different things here, obviously. You're getting hung up on, and I don't mean like that, Riley. You're, of course, referencing the 100 hours comment from Dan that then gets boiled down to just being the writer's team, that then is also being spread to a much larger swath of the video game right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I want to keep coming back to this, but Dan never said, my company works 100 hours a week to make this game. Dan said, me and three other dudes worked 100 hours a week for a little while to finish up the writing on this game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. And that's why I've been... I think the industry is looking for an opportunity to talk about this because it needs to be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's latched on to something that I'm worried will lead this to being less productive than it could be.
Mm. Final thought on this for right now comes from James Rhodes, who writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, something Gary said in the last episode stuck with me about Red Dead. Quote, if they had announced the delay instead of putting their employees through hell, they would have been applauded, end quote. I disagree. I think the game, already hit with delays, would have been dragged through the mud. Not by press, who, to Gary's point, usually applauds such measures, but by gamers. I think something that is being glossed over here is the fact that most gamers would throw a complete shit fit if the games they were looking forward to got delayed. Gary pointed out that there are other games to play. While that is 100% true, most gamers have about 3 games that they are looking forward to all year, and the rest basically qualifies impulse purchases. I just think there would be a real ugly side to the consumer if people aren't thinking about yet. Gaming and geek culture hasn't needed a deep detox for years. That it still hasn't received. My question is, do you think gamers are actually willing to do the work to support developers, or do you think their loyalty to the games themselves will override that?
3 points on that. First, when Gary, one of the things I disagreed with was Gary saying these folks were put through hell. I have not seen any of the evidence on Red Dead Redemption 2 that people were being put through hell yet. Maybe it was happening. I haven't seen anything that points to that yet.
And what I kept trying to pull back with Gary, right, is like, okay, well, no, like, that's not exactly what's been said, but if.
Yeah. If, people have been put through hell in video games many times.
Yeah.
I have not seen anything yet that leads me to believe that took place in this case.
Okay.
Second, yes, there's a lot of toxicity in gamer culture, and a lot of people would be really mean and horrible about the thing. And those are the people that will find something to be mean and horrible about because that's what they do. You would have met them. I have met them.
Yeah. Well, I've talked to them on the internet.
Yeah. I've occasionally met them.
I had one Uber driver once. That was about it.
And third, I don't care about what they think because they are terrible and awful. And while they may be very, very good people at heart, when you make your identity around destroying others, you can care very much about what that person could be or what pain is hurting them, but trying to care about the viciousness of their views that are an expression of a different kind of pain is the wrong approach. Care about them and find what's worth caring about.
Yeah, to James's point, it's what I always talk about. So sorry to beat an old drum here, but I think it's the vocal minority, the people who are mean and would be horrible and be shitty about this, right? I think the overwhelming majority of people who would read that article, if Game X, let's just take Red Dead off the table. AAA game that everybody's been waiting for puts out a statement that is like, hey, we're at a crossroads where either we can make it and my team has to work 3 months of 100-hour weeks and not see their family, or we delay it. We're choosing to delay it. You would be celebrated in the press. I think the majority of people who hear that story would be like, you know what? Good on you for doing that. That's all right, cool. Yeah. And then, yes, there'd be people who were vocal about it. But as usual, the people who are going to be vocal and are going to be assholes on the internet, their opinion doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, you can be criticized and you can have different opinions and you cannot agree with each other. That's fine. When you want to be a fucking asshole on the internet about something stupid about your toy, that's when it's like, well, no. If you're going to be complete dipshit and be rude to people and chase down developers on Twitter and scream and yell and use cuss words and use other fucking turns of phrases that you're just trying to do to get under people's skins and hurt their feelings and do this, you never mattered to begin with. You are the buzzing of flies to him. You know what I mean? Like, who the fuck cares? And it's one of those, I hate it when people are like, well, that's like, you let trolls do that. You let trolls, you give them all the fucking rope they want to hang themselves, and then you hang back and just remember, all they ever want, somebody being mean and horrible and shitty on the internet, all they want is a reaction. If you don't give it to them, they just burn out and go away. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about it. Like, if we want the industry to change, regardless of where you stand on this, but if we're talking about this, if this very specific hypothetical of a AAA studio doing that, yeah, if the majority, if people celebrate it and talked about it and were down with it, it wouldn't matter if a bunch of people were being mean about it, because they know that it does matter to a certain group of people. And probably those people, as usual, are fucking shitbags who don't have anything real to say and would end up buying the game anyway. Mm-hmm. They're still going to buy it when it comes out one day. I'm not saying people who criticize. I'm saying people who are the assholes.
Yeah, I've talked to folks from that sphere or people expressing that kind of behavior before, and usually there's a person inside that
is hurt,
is upset, and hurt about
it. And they're not mad about that. They're very mad about something else in their life, and they want to take it out on somebody. Exactly. So they're going to take it out on developer X, who made the right choice to take care of their employees and call them a whole bunch of horrible names that they would never say in person, because they know they're horrible names that you wouldn't say to a real person.
Yeah.
I digress. Number two on the Roper Report, you added, Jared.
Yeah.
A nice piece of Red Dead Redemption 2 news.
Why, yes.
Red Dead Redemption 2's launch trailer shows a gang in turmoil. This is by Tamor Hussein over at GameSpot. Tamor writes, as promised, Rockstar has released a new trailer for Red Dead Redemption 2, its eagerly anticipated open-world Western. The game is set for release on October 26th for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and ahead of this, the studio is offering everyone another tease of what they can expect. The launch trailer shows Dutch and Arthur talking about one more big score before life can improve for their gang. Soon, there's scenes of explosions, gunfire, and eternal strife set against talk of loyalty. It's fairly short, but a very sweet trailer.
Yeah, so the trailer's out there, dropped this morning, and if you're actually interested in what's going on within the game without getting spoiled on anything, probably want to check that out.
What's your take on it? You, of course, run Red Dead Radio, the podcast about Red Dead Redemption.
I do, in fact, do that, indeed, and I enjoy that old Red Dead Radio. Maybe that Greg Muir will be by that Red Dead Radio again soon. I heard a rumor that might happen.
As we get closer, I need to
talk about Red Dead. You're safe here. If I understand some people are going on media blackout, but you're not. There's at this point, they're not going to give you anything to mess with you folks. So they know that you don't want to know much either. You just see some nice, cool, tantalizing things. But considering the scope of this game, you'll be fine. So if you're on the fence about whether or not to watch the trailers, there's nothing in any of the trailers that's going to even scratch
the surface of what you're going to jump into.
Don't worry about it. Yeah.
And another lighter news, number three, Obama announced that he doesn't care about Pokemon, thus ushering in an age of heartbreak. This is from Polygon's Petrana Radulovic.
Nailed it.
That second one was good. Radulovic. Maybe Radulovic.
No, you got it.
Petrana for sure. Petrana writes, today, sad news rippled across the nation. Former President Barack Obama revealed that he does not like Pokemon. For everyone imagining the former commander-in-chief going on a Pokemon adventure of his own, parentheses, his starter would probably be a Squirtle, I can say in my totally official presidential Pokemon starter voice. Gone are those dreams. Because Obama apparently doesn't like the greatest video game franchise of all time. A lot of editorializing happening here, Jared, when you put this one in.
Yeah, I know.
He revealed this sad news in a very nonchalant way in an attention video urging people to vote. Obama tries to dispel many of the common excuses that people give when explaining why they don't go to the polls. The first I don't like politics. Look, says Obama, turning to the camera, about to break all of our hearts. I don't care about Pokemon. Then he says something about how, like politics, Pokemon isn't going away, and then continues to urge people to vote, which is definitely important. But reader, I was too heartbroken to continue on.
It's a cute video. It's the former president urging folks to go out and vote, and he just takes excuses that we give for not doing it and
tears them apart
and
brings
in
Pokemon.
Very cute way.
So he going to start playing Pokemon now? That's
well, that was kind of what he inferred.
What was that, Kevin?
So the Switch version will convert him.
That'll bring him around. Now you're talking about the Let's Go Pikachu. You mean the full on next Pokemon will be?
Well, I think he's kind of like, he looks, he's like, I don't like Pokemon, but you keep going back. Like he's kind of touching on that a little bit too. It's like, okay, you know, it's like voting. You may not like it, but you keep going back and doing it. And Pokemon can have that same effect. I mean, you know, this game is things that you get pulled into a little bit. It's like, you know, like why all people play Destiny. It's not good, but they keep going back to it.
Sure. Yeah. Number four, anyway. Final news story of the day. Blizzard will announce new Diablo projects when the time is right. This is from Lucy O'Brien, the Lion, at IGN. BlizzCon 2018 is almost here, but a new post from Blizzard strongly suggests we won't see any new Diablo projects announced. Quote, we've seen a lot of rumors flying around about our plans for Diablo at the show, reads a post on the Blizzard forums. These are very exciting times. We currently have multiple teams working on different Diablo projects, and we can't wait to tell you all about them, ... when the time is right. The post goes on to say that good things come to those who wait, but evil things often take longer. While Blizzard may not be ready to share all of its Diablo projects, the company promised that it does intend to share some Diablo-related news at the show. The post seems to extinguish any hopes of a Diablo 4 announcement at BlizzCon, which flies in the face of multiple clues that it would be, including curiously named merchandise and a Diablo panel called Diablo What's Next.
What's next, indeed.
Just the Switch version, man.
Indeed. I mean, no surprise here, right? We weren't expecting to do Diablo this year. I wasn't really.
I mean, I love Diablo, but I'm not watching Diablo that closely, keeping in mind when it'll be. I mean, there's been leaks, obviously. Or not leaks, I should say. But there's been plenty of rumors. My dad works at Blizzard. The job postings, this, that, and the other. Yeah. This at BlizzCon.
There's a new Torchlight coming. Why should I care about Diablo?
Because Diablo's better than Torchlight.
Oh, whatever.
Had to say it, everybody. Had to say it.
Bull.
Thank you.
Jared? Torchlight 2 is still the best Diablo game.
David Brevik is rolling over in his bed somewhere. Jared, usually I ask you about the games right now, but instead I'm going to say this episode's brought to you by Hims. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35, and the thing is, when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep what you have than to replace what you've lost. That's why there's 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. How do I know so much about 4hims.com and the hair loss regimen? I'll tell you why. Other side of that wall, Andy Cortez, Nick Scarpino. They're using it. They went to 4hims.com. They registered. They send in photos of their hairlines. They talk to a doctor. Doctor prescribes some prescriptions, generic equivalents to well-known name brands. They send them in. They are using it. And then now every day, Nick goes over to Andy's desk and eats the gummies he has for hair loss. And Andy gets very, very angry at him. But they seem happy with what's happening. There's no waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. You can save hours by going to 4hims.com. Order now. My listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supply lasts. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's FORHIMS.com/gamesdaily. 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Our next sponsor, MeUndies. You've heard me obsess over my MeUndies every time we talk about MeUndies, because, of course, that's all I wear. I threw away the rest of my underwear. I only buy MeUndies. True story.
What's your color today?
Let's see what I got going on here. Oh, it's that weird, like, flesh one with, like, the weird tribal print on it.
I like those. Right?
Yeah, not bad. Very comfortable. But did you know, Jared, they also make MeUndies lounge pants now?
No, I didn't know that.
They are made from the same micromodal fabric as their undies. And let me tell you, you'll be in fall heaven when you cover your entire bottom half with fabric that is 3 times softer than cotton. MeUndies also is celebrating the fall season with fun Halloween prints. You can check out their latest jack-o'-lantern print in undies, socks, and bralettes. The best part, there's a membership. You can get everything, the tees, the pants, the undies, everything MeUndies makes for less than anyone else, anything else. Or no, less than, just less. MeUndies has a great offer for the listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you purchase MeUndies, you get 15% off and free shipping. It's a no-brainer. Get 15% off a pair of the most comfortable undies you will ever put on. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. That's MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. And the final? I locked up hard on that one.
You know what? It's okay. Sometimes you got to lock up. It's all right.
I wouldn't want to say the final sponsor, I guess, but I was calling them something else, right?
I don't know.
Whatever. Final sponsor of the episode, Loot Crate. If you didn't know, I love Loot Crate. I have that Fox Sound beer glass. I drank out of it on the yesterday's GOG, I think, or maybe one of them before then.
I got a big old Venom shirt.
You have the Venom shirt?
Big old
of course,
Venom
if you didn't know what Loot Crate is, every month has a theme. They send you collectibles to your door that are built after the nerdy stuff we all love. Like Loot Gaming. Right now, the theme is Nightmare. You can get stuff from Soul Calibur 2, Silent Hill, Psychonauts, and Cuphead.
It's like they crafted that for me.
Get it. It's a monthly subscription box delivered directly to your door with exclusive pop culture collectibles, apparel, and gear. Each Loot Crate packs $60 worth of value into each crate for less than $29 a month. This crate's going to sell out, so you have to do it by the end of the week to guarantee yours. Get the best surprises each month from the largest geek and gaming subscription company. Check out and geek out with Loot Crate. Subscribe now by going to lootcrate.com/games and enter my code GAMES to get an exclusive 30% off your subscription. That's lootcrate.com/games. Enter the code GAMES. Exclusive 30% off your first subscription.
I did that and it worked.
Did it?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Pretty exciting.
Jared.
Yeah.
I'm always excited to see what's inside a Loot Crate.
You are.
But the next delivery of Loot Crate is so far away.
It is.
If I wanted something more immediate, like, say, what came to the mom and grop digital shops? Where would I go?
I'd go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the kind of game. Oh, I went too fast.
Yeah.
I am stumbling today.
It's fine, dude. It's a 55-minute show, and we didn't know we just got to the freaking list.
I know.
Out today. It's Nintendo Switch Day. It's Thursday. So if I don't say apply, I'm just going to say Switch from here on out. It's too confusing. ACA Neo Geo 3 Count Bout is on the eShop, Nintendo Switch, Blackbird Switch, Drift Legends is on Switch, Momonga Pinball Adventures is on Switch, Moto Racer 4 is on Switch, Personality and Psychology Premium is on Switch, Season Match is on Switch, Sinner Sacrifice for Redemption is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch, Spencer is on Switch, Spider Solitaire Black is on Switch, Siberia 3 is on Switch, The Missing, J.J. Macfield and the Island of Memories is on Switch, Reigns, Game of Thrones is on PC. Return of the Orbadin is on PC.
Some folks that whose opinions I really respect really like that.
Oh, Twinfinite likes it. Great. Yeah.
No, it's Chris Kohler at Kotaku. I was thinking of
The Room. Did I say The Room is on Switch? Valkyria Chronicles is on Switch,
Woo-hoo!
The original.
Yeah.
And then Will, A Wonderful World is on Switch. New dates for you. Flashpoint is BattleTech's first expansion and will launch on November 27th for $20 on Steam, GOG, and Paradox Plaza. Then deals of the day for you. Jared added this one from Wario 64. The Humble Monthly. This is Humble Bundle?
Yeah.
Humble Bundle for November includes Hollow Knight, Hitman Complete First Season, 7 Days to Die, and a batch of mystery games for $12.
That's a great pack.
That's a really good deal. Reader Mail. It's going to be short, obviously, because we're in here, but hold on.
Yeah.
I got one in here. I thought there was a hello. I got a Jared question. Yeah, okay, here we go. I'm going to do this one for you, Jared. You ready?
Uh-oh.
Strap in. Get ready. Calm down. Alex from Sioux. Sioux Falls, I assume. Did I get cut off or did it jump the page? Yeah, Sioux Falls. Hello, Greg and Jared. As someone who started gaming in the PS2 era, I feel like I've missed out on some of the more classic systems and games. I've thought about asking for either an NES or SNES classic system for Christmas, but I don't really know which one would appeal to me the most. I know Jared is a super fan of classic systems and games, so I hope that he will be able to compare the two systems and help me out with the decision. Love the show and all you guys do. Alex from Sioux Falls.
Okay, they're both great. First off, they're both well worth owning. Of the two, the software selection on the SNES Classic is superb. There's like 19 absolute winners out of those 20 games. It's pretty incredible.
Okay.
Yeah, 18, 19 of those games are just superb. The NES Classic has 30 games on it, of which I'd say more 20 of the 30 are really good. So you get about the same number of great games on each one. It's just that the proportion on the SNES one is higher. I love them both. I own them both. I think if you're going to just buy one, get the SNES one because it's kind of Nintendo at just the height of their game. And you get so many bona fide classics that are still fun on that system. However, NES Classic, totally worth your time.
You chose the SNES. That's the winner.
Yeah, that's the winner of the
two. There you
go,
Sioux Falls, Alex. Nighthawk2202 writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGDN says, hello, Jared and Greg. So I'm not seeing much coverage for Ubisoft's Starlink game that came out on Tuesday. I've been really interested in this game, but not $75 interested. As a reminder, the Switch version has Star Fox in it, and while it may be a Toys of Life thing, I believe it's totally playable without that aspect being used. Side note, probably my most hyped trailer at E3 was with Fox, Ubisoft, and Nintendo, all killing it in partnerships. Just curious if there are any impressions from you guys, or maybe if we will get some airtime on the Gamescast later. Any signs of life would be appreciated. Nighthawk2202. Over there, is that number one games journalist Andy Cortez?
Hey,
how are you?
I'm gonna top level the executive suite up here.
Oh, wow. It was nice. Well, no, now they see you. They use the camera. You're not in the executive suite. They see you right there. They know you're just sitting over there. Andy, you've been playing this here Starlink.
Yeah, I have been.
What do you think of it?
I did not expect myself to fall in love with this game.
Yeah.
It's like, it is very, very basic in terms of story.
Sure.
Voice acting is whatever. The story is like so surface level.
Yeah.
Like Titan AE type story, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Good movie, right? Good movie as a kid or whatever. But there's so much in this game that's like, that I didn't expect to be there. I thought I was just going to be either on rails shooting people or like flying around shooting people or just sort of free flying and dog fights and stuff. This is like, I guess a more evolved No Man's Sky.
Yeah, it's like No Man's Sky with good combat, right? Yeah,
it's really weird.
I saw Brian Altano loving it. I know Mike Drucker bought it as well.
And I don't know if more evolved is not the right term, because obviously No Man's Sky, you know, definitely improved upon a lot of their systems or whatever. But yeah, you're scanning planets. The bad guys have a presence on a planet, and you want to slowly take over and push them back.
Ubisoft. So... outposts.
Yeah. Exactly, yes. Outposts, but you're either building like a refinery to take out the planet's resources, or you're building a combat thing to sort of raise the planet's defenses, or you are building an observatory to unlock and view more of the planet and see most of it, you know, because of the fog of war or whatever.
Yeah.
But the thing that I wasn't sure of was how the Toys to Life thing really was implemented. We were given the toys by Ubisoft. Hashtag sponsored.
No. Hashtag toys provided by Ubisoft.
Toys provided by Ubisoft.
Free product from Ubisoft.
When I tweeted that I was digging the game, I got a lot of tweets of people asking, how are you... did you get the toys? Are you doing the digital version? To which I said, I don't know what the hell digital version is.
Yeah.
So I ended up realizing that I hated messing with this toys aspect of it, because when you're in battle... maybe you walk up to an enemy who is an ice person and you need to bring out your fire weapon. And I hated switching the little thing and popping it on. Like, it's not a deal breaker for me, but it was just, you know, sort of a minor annoyance.
Gotcha.
And I switched over to, like, I unplugged the toy thing that plugs onto your controller. By the way, you don't need it on there. You can just, like, let it sit next to you as you're playing.
Sure, but it's cooler to have it.
Yeah. So I unplugged the whole thing, and then it was like, no toy detected. Do you want to switch to digital version? So which I was like, yeah, let's switch to the digital version. And I don't know if that then unlocked all of the weapons.
Uh-huh.
Because there's fire, there's ice, there is one called Crush, which is kind of like
Earth.
It sucks everything into sort of like a vortex.
Okay.
And you can combo things when maybe there's a lot of fire enemies. You could shoot the vortex thing, suck them all in, then shoot ice, then it becomes an ice vortex.
No need.
And everything sucks in. So there's a lot of cool aspects like that. And there's another one that is sort of like,
so you like
when you lift people. Yeah, I love it. You can like lift people in Mass Effect, you know? Like
yeah,
you shoot them a thing and they get hit and then they just start floating, gravity or whatever.
Of course, yeah.
And so all the, it's very much, you know, earth, wind, and fire elements sort
That's
of fighting
cool.
against each other. I did not expect to like this game. I was thinking,
you stick with it?
I was thinking, like, it's so weird that I uninstalled Assassin's Creed Odyssey that I just found no interest in. And
God,
I'm
I hate
loving
you.
This game. It's really weird.
Are you going to stick with it?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Thanks.
Yeah, I tweeted about this yesterday. Like, this is a game that, were it not for precisely the season we're in right now, I would be buried. And this is a $75 game for me, absolutely. I'd buy this and play it for 100 hours.
I was thinking, like, man, 10-year-old Andy would eat this shit up.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
And
yeah, I love the game, 30-year-old
Andy still eating it up.
Eating it up.
I am scared to death they have sent a great game out to die.
Oh, it'll be interesting. I mean, I don't know if it's the same. Like, I understand Starlink is making waves with people who are contemporaries, but also it's made more for kids, right?
Yeah,
it's made more for kids, but you're going to lose a lot of discussion around it. Kids watch Twitch.
Sure.
Kids watch YouTube. Sure. And they're not going to get the coverage they need.
When we first saw the thing at E3, the thing I thought of was, I can't imagine being a kid watching Nickelodeon or Disney Channel and seeing these commercials pop and being I need that, you know. So, who knows? We'll see how it does.
I thought you were going to leave it as you couldn't be a kid imagining watching Nick like Scarpino, and I was like, I can't imagine that either.
No.
It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read here, the best friends come and find you when you all play games together. Today on Xbox, Secret Weapon X needs help. Secret Weapon X spells this name incredibly stupidly. And then puts in parentheses, I made this when I was 15 and won't change it even though I can. So I refuse to read it even though you could change it. You can find Secret Weapon X spelling on the YouTube video, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. As of late, the Xbox has been known for their quality of life features that are generally pretty good. My favorite of these, Looking for Group, has recently become full of spam, such as links to YouTube channels, fake giveaways, and people literally looking for girls. I would just like to play Overwatch with some best friends. Thanks in advance, your boy Justin. If you want to hit up Justin, go find how to spell Secret Weapon X on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And then
He spells boy as badly as he spelled Secret Weapon X.
That one I'm fine with. Your boy like that, it's fine.
He's also not consistent. If you're going to make the threes E's, make all the threes E's.
Yeah, he's 15. He was 15 and dumb then.
But now he's not.
As you know, ladies and gentlemen, Shuhei Yoshida no longer hates you, and you will soon be able to change your PSN name. So we are saying goodbye to bad PSN names by you writing in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your bad PSN name and the story behind it. Today, If You're Red needs help. IFYOURRED.
It's a grammar crime going on here.
The name originated when I was in grade school. I was making a Darinian hunter on World of Warcraft whilst watching Young Frankenstein one late night. It was the scene where Gene Wilder and Peter Boyle are doing the putting on the Ritz and singing, If You're Blue and You Don't Know Where to Go. So I named my hunter If You're Blue. IFYOURBLUE. Being ignorant to the difference between your and you are, apostrophe, you know what I mean, your, at the time. Somehow, that morphed into my PSN name, If You're Red, and I've been stuck in this living nightmare ever since.
Your and your, there and there, two, two, and two. These are the things that haunt us in our dreams.
Again, we've done the really gross and grotesque PSN names, so as we say goodbye, I like bringing up the ones that are just dumb. Yeah. You're stuck with a dumb name the rest of your life.
Weapon X.
We ask people watching us live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. So we can set the record straight for everybody watching later. Blah, 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 blah.
Got it.
What we got here?
Anonymous says, hey Greg, during the big Red Dead convo, you mentioned that one of the people who wrote in was he or she. Just wanted to say that you could have also been non-binary or something else, saying they might have been more appropriate since they didn't mention gender. Super sorry if that came off as a lecture. That isn't what I intended. No, it's something I've talked about before. Sadly, when I was coming up in journalism school, I would have been marked off for points for saying they when it's a singular person. So it's still hard for me to switch over to that. But it's what I was trying to drive at, of course. Here we go. Tor Del Rey says, it was stated by Jared that Destiny is not good, but this is factually incorrect. Destiny is, in fact, great and fun.
No, it's not good.
Yeah, that's not even worth reading, and you're wrong.
Yeah.
My dog says, Valkyria Chronicles came out yesterday on Switch, and it's 25% off if you own Valkyria Chronicles 4 digitally. Also, I think you missed Resonance of Fate 4K edition of PS4 and PC that came out today. We talked about Resonance yesterday, so maybe that was wrong. And then, yeah, Nintendo put out their thing today, putting Valkyria in for today. I will no longer accept incorrects for Nintendo dates.
Yeah,
because Nintendo clobbers everything together, and I just read off what they do every Thursday.
I didn't say anything during it, but I saw it on the store yesterday too.
Well, you suck, and so does my dog Nick 96. I don't know.
I think we're just right.
I don't know what that is.
I mean, how could we not be right?
Malcontent Rona says, Starlink, important note for Starlink per Polygon. The physical edition comes with only one physical ship, while the digital version comes with four digital ones, making the game much easier. Switch version apparently gets five, thanks to Star Fox being exclusive. Zaire says new dated Storm in a Teacup coming October 25th to the Switch, and Rocket League crossplay party system is postponed to 2019.
There we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, you've been watching Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every week, Dan, a variety of platforms, we come to you with the nerdy news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Sending questions for me and Andrea tomorrow.
All right.
You can watch the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or listen on podcast services around the globe.
You haven't paired up with the busiest lady in the business in a while.
I know. We're going to be reunited.
It's going to be great. I can't wait to watch.
It's going to be something, all right?
It's exciting.
Until next time. It's been our pleasure to serve you.